Well, it's been a wonderful weekend, hasn't it? So thankful for all the people who put in hard work. I was glad it wasn't canceled just because I know all the planning that went into this. And a lot of us would have been disappointed. So let's thank the Lord for this last session and ask His help. Lord, we do thank You for our time together. And there have been lots of things said and just take Your word and use it in our lives, in our hearts. But we also pray that as we listen to this last session, You would teach us again how best to be a good friend, faithful friend. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're talking about gossip because it hurts friendships, right? Did you hear about the pastor who was fired because his wife shared details in the prayer meeting? I just made that up. It's like, who was it? What was the church? What did they do to her? What did they do to him? Yeah. We're all susceptible, huh? So, we want to talk about this because it will help us keep friendships. And, you know, it's good for me, too. I was really glad to study this topic because I've been more mindful now about what I should say and not say. So, definition of gossip is speaking about someone in a way that defames, dishonors, or otherwise hurts character. Tim Challies says, talking negatively about people who are not there and thinking the worst about them. Matthew Mitchell says, the sin of gossip is bearing bad news behind someone's back out of a bad heart. Okay, we all see the continuity in those definitions. The first gossiper was named Satan. Yeah, the word gossip, the Greek word is diabolos, devilish. So, slanderer. It's used in Titus 2:3, older women are not to be slanderers. That's diabolos. Deacons' wives are not supposed to be slanderers. 1 Timothy 3:11. And it can be very subtle. And it can be very loud, like ranting. It can be true or not true. So Satan said to Eve, "You shall not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, the fruit, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." He was taking God's word and twisting it, saying something that was not true. So there are two criteria to know whether you're gossiping or not. And this is so important, so listen up. The first one is, you're not gossiping if you tell somebody who needs to know. Am I gossiping if I say I saw a situation of molestation in our Sunday school class? Is it gossip? You have to tell somebody who needs to know. That needs to be said. Now, some people say, no, wait a minute, that hurts somebody's reputation. No, you tell somebody who needs to know. The second criteria is you tell somebody who can take action, somebody who can help. And this is important because I'm getting this question all the time when I'm counseling. I don't really want to tell you what my husband is doing because I don't want to gossip. And I'll say, are you telling somebody who needs to know? Like, does your church need to know that there's abuse in your household? And you're telling me because I'm here to help. You don't want to tell all these other people, but you tell somebody who is able to help. So that'll clarify things for you, I hope. And another, you might say, if this does not require action, then you don't talk about it. That'll help us also to decide whether we should tell anyone. And here's another criteria. It says if you are not part of the problem or part of the solution, then don't say anything about it. All right. For example, suppose you heard that some missionaries were leaving the field. Oh, these are dear missionaries. We've prayed about them in our church for so long. Why are they leaving? Now, if you're on the missions committee, you need to know about all that stuff. You need to hear the whole story, you know, and who knows what it is. Maybe they just want to be near their kids who are now going to college. Maybe there's been problems within the team on the field. Maybe there's moral failure. Who knows? But the missions committee needs to know that. But does everybody else need to know? We don't. So this is where our curiosity just gets going crazy. But we just calm it down, say, I don't really need to know this. I don't need to know the answer. So gossip happens in several different areas. I'm going to tell you, we're going to break it down into certain categories, like our family and friends. And gossip, oh man, it happens in families, right? And you get families divided. She said this, and he did that, and taking sides, and just causing division. It can break up friendships. And Proverbs 16:28 says, a dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. But gossip can happen at work. And I've had counselees come in and say, I cannot handle this work environment. They're all talking about bad things about one another. One was a teacher. She said, parents come in and they complain about a teacher to me. I'm not part of the solution. They're not going through protocols of how to deal with an issue in the classroom. And it can be really damaging in workplaces. They're just sounding off. And you know who really has a grasp on gossip? What is gossip and what is not is our nurses, people in the medical field. They've got the HIPAA law. They are not going to talk. And don't we all need to be remembering that? We should just like have our own HIPAA for our church, churches. We're not going to talk. There's no need for you to know details about that person's health. Same thing. Let's just keep it without spreading it. We don't need to know those private things. But gossip happens in church. And I already, my little example was prayer meeting, right? Oh, just, you've heard it. You've probably heard it. They're having a marriage problem. Let's pray for them. Okay. In 1 Timothy 5:11, I've quoted you already the problem with some of the younger widows who were learning to be idlers, going from house to house, and not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not. So is it just young widows who are having these problems? No. We're included in Titus 2:3. The older women are not to be gossips. So, as an elder's wife for many years in a church, this is how we handled it, because some elders come home and tell their wives what happened at the elders' meeting, what the details are in the church. But other elders would go home and not tell their wives what was happening in the church, all the details of the elders' meeting. So what that was really good, because these two groups did not talk about the secrets of the church. I wouldn't talk to others because I didn't know who knew what. And that was a really good check to keep us from gossiping with each other and talking about things behind our other bodies, those people's backs. We don't need to know details. If we do, it'll become public. But gossip is a problem in the counseling office. Like I already said, the wives who come in and say, I just don't want to make my husband look bad. But there are problems I don't know how to deal with. So this is where I have to give my speech about what is gossip. I am here to help you. And Matthew Mitchell says, it is not gossip to seek counsel from a wise person about our conflicts and problems. We see gossip in politics, don't we? Oh, all those mailers you get about, oh, how many parking tickets have they had? And, oh, this guy's declared bankruptcy. How many times? I mean, that is really one of our primary mailers that came out just a few weeks ago. So some of us don't even vote until voting day because what's going to come out? The October surprise, they say, right? Some bit of dirt that comes out right before the election, enough to change the election, change the votes. But social media is our downfall, right? And you can get out there and make your comments almost anonymously, but you can just throw your opinion out there without knowing what's what. You don't know the details. And haven't we seen, for example, John MacArthur slandered on social media with him not having a chance to say anything in his defense? And then everybody else might want to say something in his defense, and then here we go. You get these arguments. Like, have you ever been like the victim? You're the one who started the thing, and all of a sudden you got all these arguments happening. It's like out of control. So let's not do that. And I have accidentally seen an email that went reply all when it was only one person, and it was full of gossip. That should stop us, huh? Let's just read through what we're saying, because if it's written on an email and it could go out, that's just really good to remember. I've got to be careful in what I say, even in what I'm typing. So Proverbs 11:13 said, "Whoever goes about slandering reveals secret, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered." But we're all capable of gossip. John Owen said, "The seed of every known sin is in my heart." And he's like a great Puritan. Tim Challey said, "Even if we've not actually gossiped, we've tiptoed over the line." So I'm going to encourage you, don't ignore it, because it can do so much damage, and it can become a part of a culture of a family or even a church. I know people who've left a church because of gossip. I'm not going to tell you what church. But just remember that gossip is nasty, and it's destructive, and it's vile. It can get started by one person and just spread drastically. So there's gossip in the Old Testament. Throughout the Bible, Noah's son said, "Daddy Noah's drunk." Do you remember that story? Okay, the other brothers said, "Okay, we're going to cover him up. We're going to not..." Somehow the word got out, I guess. "We are going to take care of it and not spread it, instead of just like telling others." Job's friends assumed the worst of his suffering. And this is a little controversial, but I'll just throw it out here. Joseph gave a bad report about his brothers. Some would say he should have covered that sin. Matthew Mitchell says, "Tattling is gossiping to someone in authority." Oh, you've seen that at your households, right? So, interesting story in Joshua 22 of the tribes of Israel that came into the land, and it's like some of them stayed east of the Jordan, the rest of them went and conquered the land. Do you remember this story? And they were about ready to come to blows because our brothers have built an altar on the other side of the Jordan, and they are planning to worship other gods. And it almost came into a battle. But instead, in Joshua 22, if I could just find the book of Joshua, here. The tribes that were innocent, that was the people of Reuben, the people of Gad, half-tribe of Manasseh, they said in answer to the heads of the families of Israel, verse 22, "The mighty one, God the Lord, the mighty one, God the Lord." So repetition is for emphasis. "He knows, and let Israel itself know, if it was in rebellion or in breach of faith against the Lord, do not spare us today for building an altar to turn away from following the Lord. For if we did so, to offer burnt offerings or grain offerings or peace offerings on it, may the Lord himself take vengeance." That would have been a really bad thing. No, but we did it from fear, that in time to come your children might say to our children, what have you to do with the Lord, the God of Israel? Because the Jordan was separating that set of tribes. And they went on and made a defense. But did you see that the other tribes were going like, these are wicked people. We're going to invade them and kill them. That's gossip, like out of control, without speaking to those tribes. And the Lord preserved that. So we have Eli, who falsely accused Hannah. She's drunk in the middle of the day. She's like, no, I'm not. But he was assuming the worst about her. We have so many lists in the New Testament of gossip and things when our tongue is out of control. For example, James 3. And you knew I was getting here, right? Those of you Bible scholars, you knew I was going to read this. It says, if you can bridle your tongue, then you're like a perfect man. Verse 3, if we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. They are so large and are driven by strong winds, but they're guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set against our members, straining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. Okay. For every kind of beast, he gives a list, have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. Okay, don't get super discouraged. He's just telling the reality. It's hard to tame the tongue. And he says, 9, with it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, these things ought not to be so. And then he describes how we can't have this wrestling with what our tongue says and a good heart. So we have lists in Romans 1 of all these terrible sins of people. In the last days, they did not see fit to acknowledge God. God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness. And you know what's on that list? Gossips. The end of verse 29. Like, this is horrible. We shouldn't just play around with it. So, as we name it a sin, then we know we need to put it to death. We need to kill it. Romans 8:13, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body and the tongue, then you will live. So we're going to lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely. Because some of us kind of have a tendency to want to tell a story to get people to listen to us. And the rest of us want to hear the story. It's so easy. And we have to recognize maybe we have a tendency to gossip. And I would say the root problem here is like a judgmental spirit. It's saying things negatively about others because you're judging them. Now, are Christians supposed to have wisdom and be able to discern? Yes. But I'm talking about like hateful speech, judging speech. So let me just tell you the reason you don't want to be a gossip. It's because you're going to hurt yourself and you're going to hurt others. So start with yourself. Proverbs 19:5 says, a false witness will not go unpunished, and he who breathes out lies will not escape. Proverbs 16:2. All the ways of man are pure in his own eyes, But the Lord weighs the spirit. What's your reason? What's your reason for telling what's happened to her? Talking about their marriage problem. Talking about their financial issues. Talking about their children in a negative way. 1 Peter 4:15 says, let none of you suffer as, and on that list, a meddler. So you're going to suffer if you're a meddler or a gossip. And if you don't believe me yet, Proverbs 11:3. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. Okay, very serious. We will also lose friends. If we're a gossip, we're not going to have that many friends, because who wants to be a friend, a person who tells secrets that you've heard from your friends? Are they going to keep talking to you if your secrets get spilled to other people who don't need to know and are not in a position to help? You're going to lose friends really quickly. And I bet all of you can come up here and testify to loss of friendship because of gossiping. So you're hurting yourself if you are a gossip. And Proverbs 20, verse 19 tells us, whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a simple babbler. So we're told to avoid gossips. If you don't do it already, because you're afraid your secrets are going to be spilled, then it says right here, we need to separate ourselves from gossips. So you're hurting yourself when you're spreading secrets, but you're also hurting the people you are talking to. Proverbs 17:4. An evildoer listens to wicked lips, and a liar gives ear to a mischievous tongue. Proverbs 6:16-19 is the list of things that God hates. There are six things the Lord hates. Seven that are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises evil plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. The Lord hates all these things. So I want to read you something from the newspaper about how gossip spread, true story, gossip spread and hurt a very famous person named J.K. Rowling. Okay, this, I don't have the date of this story, but here it is. Author J.K. Rowling, you know who she is, right? Okay, wrote the Harry Potter series, became famous. Her name is famous because of that. Well, she accepted an apology and a charitable donation Wednesday from a law firm that revealed she wrote a crime novel under a pseudonym. Okay, so the backstory is she wanted to see, could I get a book published that's under a different name? Because people probably buy my book because it says J.K. Rowling in the byline. So I want to see if I can get recognized for good writing under another name. Get it? Okay, so she wrote a book, and it says here, the Harry Potter author was exposed by a newspaper on July 14th as the author of The Cuckoo's Calling, a thriller ostensibly written by a former soldier and first-time novelist Robert Galbraith. Okay, the book was published in April to good reviews, but modest sales. And there was speculation that Rowling or her publisher had leaked the news to raise the book's profile. Hey, you know, this is really J.K. Rowling's book. But the law firm, which has done work for her, acknowledged that one of its partners had let the information slip to his wife's best friend, who tweeted it to a Sunday Times columnist. Rowling sued the lawyer and the friend. And her attorney told Britain's High Court on Wednesday that Rowling had been left angry and distressed that her confidences had been betrayed. And she didn't do it for the money. So she was going to donate all the results of that trial for the book and all the royalties for the book for the next 3 years to charity. We don't realize, just talking about something we think is innocent, who's going to know? Well, that's what happened. So we need to be very careful, and I'm so glad that I've been able to think about this topic because I am so inclined to be a gossip, let me just be honest. it happens a lot. And I have to restrain myself. I'm thinking, this is gossip. But not only that, I can be tempted to bring up a subject waiting for the gossip to come out. Okay, I know, I'm ashamed, but it's true. Like, how is so-and-so doing? And you're like, or did you hear what she put up on the internet? And now we get to get a little down and dirty about how that we don't like that person. Okay, it's so easy. So we can be tempted to think also, we can think badly about others that we have never met and never heard their problem, their side of it. For example, your friend who talks about her husband. He is all this. Oh, this happened to me. This happened to me last week. My husband is such and such and such and such. And I'm sympathetic, kind. And then my husband meets with her husband, and there is a different story on the other side. So Proverbs 18:17 says, the one who states his case first seems right until the other comes and examines him. We also know, like if we're good counselors, those of us who are counselors, that it is the glory of God to conceal things, but the glory of kings is to search things out. Let's go and get the accurate story if we're involved in this story at all. And Proverbs 11:9, with his mouth the godless man would destroy his neighbor, but by knowledge the righteous are delivered. So if you have any involvement in marriage counseling or helping two people get together, you're going to listen to both sides accurately and try hard not to be biased because each person has their own story. And like I said, it's a temptation for us, and as Heath Lambert says, sin can burn you even if you don't sin. So we are going to remember that gossips also hurt the people who are being gossiped about. And I gave you that example. Shakespeare in Othello says, he who steals my purse steals trash, but he that filches my good name makes me poor indeed. That's just truism. But Shakespeare got it. Our reputations can be damaged by gossip. But it's very difficult to confront. And here we have Linus and Lucy in the comics. Linus said, okay, backstory. Linus is really upset with his grandmother because she took his blankie. You know, he's very attached to his blanket, right? He says, say, how do I know Grandma isn't cheating? How do I know she's not sneaking a few puffs out behind the barn? How do I know? I'll bet that's what she's doing. I should get my blanket back because I'll bet Grandma's smoking behind the barn. Lucy says, we don't have a barn. Rats, he says. It's like, oh, man. That's one way to confront it, directly. So, first thing is, it's really hard to figure out if this is gossip or not. And Matthew Mitchell gives a suggestion that would you say that if that person was here? That's also a good check for yourself. Would I say this thing if she was right next to me? That really helps. But this sin is so appealing, which is why it's hard to fight. And we see it in the Bible, the same verse twice. You know that happens in Proverbs sometimes? Now, I told you earlier, repetition means emphasis. Okay, here's the verse. It's in the Bible twice. Proverbs 18:8 and 26:22. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. So here's your word picture. It's the bag of chips. Can you eat one? You can't eat just one. That was the slogan, right? It's got to have more. Got to have more. Or if you like sweets, the bag of Oreos. Oh, yeah, just one. Oh, that was really good. Just a little bit more. So how do you stop eating Oreos and chips? Don't buy them. Don't buy them. Don't even get them in your house. And then, well, say it's in the house, then you don't even open the bag. Just stay away. Because it's around us. So you can just avoid the gossip. But for one thing, just before we get into how to avoid it, is realize that if you talk too much, it can spill out. And my verse for that is Proverbs 10:19. We used to teach this to our kids. When words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. So it's the quiet one who's sitting there who's not going to gossip. The ones who are just like, oh. I mean, I love you girls who are like the bubbly, excited people. But let's just be careful, because that could be a stress on the desire to gossip if we're just talking without thinking. So my husband says, you can always say more later, but you can never say less. So if you're just sitting there quietly, you can always add to the conversation later, but you can't take it back. So Proverbs 11:12, that's all over Proverbs, right? He who belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding stays silent. So we want to be careful. Another reason you don't want to be with a gossip is because you could be the next target. They could turn it right back on you. And if you know that she's a gossip, then you really kind of don't want to be around her. Who knows what she'll say to someone else? So sometimes that fear of being gossiped about is going to keep us from gossiping. It's like, okay, I don't want to be a part of this. And here's Beetle Bailey. And the general half-track said, I hear you've been talking about me behind my back. And the guy goes, who told you that, sir? Someone who was talking behind your back. Conventional wisdom right there. Okay. So we want to avoid gossip. You know, the opposite of gossip is being trustworthy, being real, being able to be truthful. God tells us we need to be truthful. And you can probably give me many stories of stuff on the internet that's purported to be true. Why was Snopes.com necessary? Because we all have to track down, is this story true or not? Let me suggest strongly, let's not put those stories up. Because if we don't know they're true, please do not share stuff on the internet that could be fake. Because in my case, I have a son who's friends with all my friends, and every now and then he'll see something on the internet, all my friends are commenting or talking about it, and he goes, just so you know, this is not a true story for these reasons. He's tracking down, because he checks on Snopes, he goes, and you know, he's a science guy, so he says, you know, it's not true for these reasons, he collects information, but you know, I don't want somebody doing that to me. I want to just be like, I'm going to tell you something that's real, and fake or sensational news, I'm going to avoid. Proverbs 14:15. The simple believes everything, but the prudent gives thought to his steps. Just really suggest you don't push that share button unless you know what you're doing. So, God promises that when we avoid a gossip, we will be blessed. An evildoer listens to wicked lips, and a liar gives ear to a mischievous tongue, Proverbs 17:4. So here's one of these anonymous quotes that's pretty good. One reason why a dog is such a lovable creature is that his tail wags instead of his tongue. He's not going to spread stuff. So instead of being a gossip and separating, dividing people, we want to be people full of reconciliation. Haven't we been given the ministry of reconciliation? Yeah. So Matthew Mitchell says we should talk to people and not about people. Just right there. Proverbs 26:20, for lack of wood, a fire goes out. Without a gossip, a quarrel dies down. Instead, we want to be peacemakers. And I found myself listening to a story maybe 2 weeks ago. And I said to my friend, I'm not sure why we're talking about this. She's telling me somebody else said something else negative about somebody I knew. And I said, I'm not sure why we're talking about this. They should go back and talk to that person directly. Why? I mean, like, we're like 2-3 steps removed from these people we're talking about. So it's going to be important to learn how to shut it down. So I'll give you some suggestions. From Eric Raymond, he's got 3 R's. Refuse, rebuke, redirect. Okay, so the first one, refuse. And that could be something like, have you talked to her about that? And that's what I told my friend, like, they should talk directly to that person and not to you, basically, is what I said. But tell them to go back and talk to them. If you see something going on in their marriage, they should be the ones talking about it, not the us. I mean, it's not our business. Or just saying, I don't want to talk about that. Or please don't involve me in this conversation. Or I don't want to talk about her issues. We can find nice ways to stop gossip around us. So rebuke. And Paul Tripp says, God-ordained rebuke is to restrain evil until our redemption is complete. We either position ourselves to be part of that work, or we stand in the way. So rebuke can be a good thing if we gently say we do not want to hear it. And Eric Raymond says, gossip can start slowly. Then the conversation begins to carve up somebody's reputation like a Christmas turkey. We're just cutting her down. That's what it sounds like, that, right? So you can say things like, I don't want to talk about that anymore. And what you're telling me, you're probably going to regret. Or, I don't want to be a part of this conversation because I'm getting convicted that it's wrong to talk about it. Okay, that's a gentle rebuke, right? And call it a sin. And that's pretty hard to do that. But we can learn to be really gentle in calling out sin. That's part of our responsibility as friends. And Nehemiah says, when he was accused of falsely, I sent to him saying, no such things as you say have been done, for you are inventing them out of your own mind. That's Nehemiah 6:5-9, one of those little treasures you find in the Old Testament. So redirect. That was like the example. They should go back and talk to that person. That's redirecting, like stopping it and suggesting a solution. If gossip is a lie and you've been participating in that, then you need to confess that to the Lord. You need to ask forgiveness of the person you told the negative story to. And Matthew Mitchell says you need to go back and ask forgiveness of the person you gossiped about. And if you thought you had to do that, that would stop you, right? No way I want to go and tell her what I said about her. Okay? Just don't even say it. And then we should follow up later. So Amy Carmichael has a list of her how she governed her speech, and I found this list in a biography that, by Ian Murray that about Amy Carmichael, and I think it's in your notes. It's T-H-I-N-K, think. First, T, is it true? Is what I'm saying true? Well, we need to ask ourselves that. H, is it honest? I, is it inspiring? We're supposed to be thinking about whatever's honorable and pure and lovely and commendable. Is it necessary for me to talk about this? Is it kind? It's kind of like the Rotary Club's four-way test, right? Some of you know about that. They have a similar list, how to govern our speech. But even better is Scripture. So if we look at Scripture, what it says, how we're to speak, that'll be a positive way of ending our talk, now that we're all beaten down. Instead, what should I do? Ephesians 4, 29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building others up as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. You want to be that lady, don't you? That kind of friend. Titus 3, 2. Remind them to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and show perfect courtesy toward all people. Proverbs 16, 24, gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. You'll be the one everybody wants to talk to if you have gracious words, right? So we need to guard our hearts because you might say, well, this is really hard. How can I stop? Okay, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's our principle. So if you've got a heart that's full of grace and lack of judgmentalism or lack of judgment on people, then you don't have to just really tough it out and say, I'm not going to gossip or I'm never going to speak again. Instead, if your heart is settled in the grace of God, what comes out are going to be gracious words. So this is the cure for gossip. It is having God's Spirit in our hearts. And it's in Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. If all our words were spoken with this thought in mind, that we want to be acceptable to our God, we are going to be those people who are surrounded by tons of friends and are truly faithful friends to those we love. Just as last comment, Jesus is our example. Wasn't he slandered repeatedly throughout his lifetime? But he was gracious. He commended people around him. He said, I am the truth. And he dealt graciously with slanderers, knowing that before the Lord, he was innocent. And that's how we want to be able to testify. So we're going to pray for that and ask God to help us have control of our tongues and to be the kind of faithful friends who are the most encouraging in our community. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this last reminder of our speech, and let our words be filled with grace and love and compassion and lack of judgment, and let us get a hold of the gossip sin, and let us not participate either by speaking or by listening to gossip, and let us change the culture of our families, those around us, to a culture that honors and loves you. In Jesus' name, amen.